Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. I'm your host, I'm Stu Whiffin. It's another day, therefore it's another episode. How are you all? Good, good. Glad to hear that. I've got a wonderful episode for you today. On today's episode, I sit down and chat with Genevieve Gaunt. And it's an absolute delight. You're about to listen and you're going to find out just how delightful this chat is. Genevieve sent over a wonderful list of records, plenty of honourable mentions. So there's lots of tracks that you can go and explore on the Spotify playlist to accompany this. And what you will also hear quite quickly is that Genevieve's got a very, very, very wonderful voice. I guess that's why she's very successful in the world of voiceover work and such. And yeah, so it was going straight into my headphones, and within about 5 minutes, I was thinking, this is such a wonderful voice. So yeah, you're in for a treat. Great records, great voice, and it's a great chat. If this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track podcast, then when you get to the end of the episode with Genevieve, go and explore the back catalogue, because there's over 300 episodes, and you can hear me talking to artists as diverse as Fatboy Slim, Motley Crue, Foo Fighters, actors such as Maxine Peake, Amanda Abington. Oh, gosh, who else have I had on? It's, I never forget. I've got like 300 odd so guests I've had on, and when it comes to the crunch of rattling a few off, I always say the same ones. There's so many. Sleaford Mods, Idols, Suede. Oh, gosh. Who else? Comedians, James Acaster, Ed Gamble. I'll tell you what. I'm wasting my time trying to remember them all. I should have a list, shouldn't I, in front of me that I can just pick a few from. But the best thing you can do is just go and have a little look, and then pick out the ones that you recognise, have a listen to them, and before you know it, you'll be subscribing and enjoying all of the chats. What's not to like? Really, really nice people having a wonderful chat about the records that they're in love with. So, yeah. Also, if you'd like to support the podcast, let me tell you how you can do that. So, firstly, you can just tell your mates, and let me tell you how you do that. So you just go, have you heard Off the Beaten Track podcast? It's all right. I'd recommend you give that a listen. So you can do that, or wherever you listen to your podcast, there's a button called subscribe. If you press that, then you won't miss any episodes. They'll just pop up on your listening device. Don't even have to worry about it. So that's a good one. You can also like leave a comment. So you can just go, yeah, I really didn't like his, you know, lispy Essex twang. You can say that. I'd rather you didn't. I'd rather you said something nice. But yeah, so you can do that. That's always good. I'm on all the socials, so if you give us a follow on them, that helps. And if you're feeling really, really generous and you're really enjoying the podcast, then you can support it on Patreon. So Patreon's a sort of supporters program, and it's like a kind of social media feed, really. So each week I put up like radio shows or video episodes or upfront releases and stuff like that, and that's going to cost you, I think, $70 a month, so whatever that is, 79p a month, something like that. So yeah, so if you'd like to really support the podcast, you can do it over there. I'm understanding that, you know, we're just on the cusp of coming out of a dreadfully tough time for lots of people, so I don't expect you to put your hands in your pocket, but if you'd like to, it's much appreciated. Other than that, go for option one. Just tell your pals about it. Right, that's enough waffle from me, and let's get over to some wonderful chat from today's guest, Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with the wonderful Genevieve Gaunt. Right, I've got to take a quick break in this podcast because I've got some super exciting news. Off the Beaten Track podcast is proud to go into partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. That's right. The Cacao Bar is not a chocolate bar. It's all the best bits of a chocolate bar put into a really exciting new alcoholic range. That's right. Gin, vodka, and a beautiful range of cream liqueurs. So one of the big bonuses of this partnership is obviously I'm super thrilled to have Hotel Chocolat working with us, but they sent me a great big box of this stuff. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. Go and check it out, www.hotelchocolat.com or over on the socials at Hotel Chocolat. But yeah, in the coming months, there's going to be opportunities for you to get involved with competitions with us, to win bottles of stuff. There's loads of exciting things coming soon, and I can't be more happy to say that this podcast is in partnership with the Cacao Bar from Hotel Chocolat. All right, let's get back to the podcast. It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin. Genevieve, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. We've had technical difficulties, but we're there. I can hear you loud and clear, which is lovely. It's wonderful to meet you. Thank you for giving up your time today to come and talk records. You sent the list over, and from the size of the list, it makes me think that you found this quite difficult to narrow down to like one for each one.
Well, I chose one for each one, but it's such a joy doing this and going down like a kind of history of my favorite music. And there were just so many songs that kind of came up that I love that I have chosen like a favorite one for each, mm-hmm. but I have to like put the full list there. Absolutely.
Well, I do allow you honorable mentions, which is just as well because there's a stack for each. So I'm looking forward to getting stuck in. But before we talk records, Genevieve, I'm going to just ask how you found, I mean, we've just off the back of some news from the government today, so we're recording this on the, I think it's the 6th today of July, that hopefully in a few weeks we find ourselves out of lockdown, which will be strange and wonderful. And so in hindsight, just looking back now, how have you found the last 15 months as both Genevieve human being and artist?
Well, I mean, it has been a crazy year, and I think it's been incredibly challenging for a lot of people, but I feel like I've been very lucky and I have been saved by the work that I do, which is, so I'm an actor and I do a lot of audio stuff, audio dramas, audiobooks, commercials, and it's one of the few industries that I think transferred very well to working from home. So got a little home studio, which always sounds very fancy, but it's not. It's just a mic really and a duvet over your head. Yeah. And so I was able to interact with new people and access these other worlds and, you know, just doing fantastic stuff. I did, you know, the Thunderbirds being Lady Penelope with John Coleshaw. I'm the little 11-year-old boy in David Walliams's audiobook, Codename Bananas, BBC Radio 4 stuff, The Magic Mountain, Thomas Mann. So I've been very lucky in that respect. And this is something I know that you will appreciate being a podcaster, is it was only from recording this stuff at home that I had to become acquainted with like waveforms and stuff.
Yeah.
So I had all these, I've made a podcast and I had all these interviews, and I started to, on Audacity, start to cut and paste these interviews together. And then as a result, I was able to make my podcast myself, which I think it was a wonderful creative project that gave me a huge amount of joy and food for thought. And it was a challenge. But the joy of that challenge took away some of the existential dread of this strange limbo land we were all in. And I also think that there's a lot of doom and gloom in the news, but they don't really publish the good stuff. And I actually think this time has shown us all like really what's important and focusing on, you know, family and friends. And they're the people who got us through this, and slowing down a bit and not going to stuff that we didn't really want to go to and just being able to narrow it down. And so, yeah, it's of course, it's been a challenging time, but creatively, I never would have made my podcast, The Cupid Couch, if lockdown hadn't happened. So I can appreciate this strange time for what it was, but I also am very much looking forward to the world going back to normal. Definitely.
It's so strange. You're so right, you know, in regards to starting to assess what really matters. And I think that human connection was something when it was taken away from us, we really, you know, started to notice how much we need that in our lives. And one of the things that I love about podcasting is the fact that it's very, very kind of punk in its ethos. And the fact that I love the fact that when, you know, studios are shut and not being able to go and sit in rooms with guests and chat, you kind of, you know, you've learned how to use Audacity. You've then gone and found guests, I presume, recorded like this remotely, and then put these things together and put it out. And it's like, that's as punk as it gets. It's like, right, this is all I've got on my disposable here. It's like, it's completely DIY. So let's see what I can do. And I think that's not just podcasting. I think there's been so much, you know, creativity that has been born out of this terrible time that we've, you know, we've all had to endure. And I think we, you know, we've seen really amazing television shows and music being made in completely unique and different ways. And I think that we'll look back on that and go, oh God, yeah, that was made then. That's why that is so unique and different. And yeah, wonderful. Right, well, let's start the playlist. And for track one, Genevieve, I'm going to ask you please to tell me the song that you think has the greatest ever intro.
So I'm going to a caveat for my choices, which is, I mean, there's so much fantastic, moving, exquisite music out there that I have to choose these songs that the ones I feel like have endured for me, okay. The ones that I keep coming back to. I am a huge musical theatre fan, and the song Something's Coming from West Side Story is one of my absolute favourites. The 1961 film is iconic. I know there's a new one coming out, which I haven't seen yet, but it's written by Leonard Bernstein, and the lyrics are by Stephen Sondheim when he was only 27. And it's just da-da-dum, 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 da-da-dum. I mean, it's just the way that music can storytell, the way that just the strings, the way it makes you feel, as he says in the song, that something is coming, the sense of like fate hurtling around the corner. And it's so full of youthful optimism and joy and excitement. And yet it's very poignant because the audience knows, as it's based on Romeo and Juliet, that his fate is hurtling around the corner, but it's also going to be tragic. So to me, it's just magic, that song.
Did you hear it before you see the film, or did you see the film before you?
I think I saw them at the same time. So when I was a kid, I saw West Side Story, and it's a magnificent film.
Was even in them kind of like early moments of seeing stuff like that, was that already kind of laying foundations in, you know, in your mind of what you potentially wanted to go on and do?
I think so. I mean, I must have been 10. I saw the Broadway filmed recording of Stephen Sondheim's Into the Woods, and Bernadette Peters played the witch. And Matt, this is mad, we did it at school.
Right.
The musical is actually in two halves. The first half is like the happy fairy tale, and then the second half is like the darker bit. And we did the first half. So for about a decade, I never realized there was a second half to the musical. And we got to do it at school. And I think it's the creativity and the wordplay, and it's quite discordant at times and just beautiful. So yes, I think it was those kind of formative things that I saw. Sondheim is a massive hero of mine. I'll try not to talk about him too much.
Well, we talk about school in a moment, but I'm just interested to know, what almost made this for track one? What are your honourable mentions?
My honourable mentions are, I mean, in terms of as an introduction, I think Don't Think Twice, It's All Right by Bob Dylan is just sensational. I actually saw Dylan in concert in 2016 in Berkeley in California, which was just cool. I feel like I've seen the King, and but I like lots of different kinds. I mean, everyone says, oh, I like lots of different kinds of music, but I do feel that I do like music from all different genres. Yeah. So, I mean, again, like things that stick with you. When I first heard Breeze Blocks by Alt-J, blew my mind.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like nothing else. It's so original and strange and dark. I love it. John Denver's Annie song, just sensational. It's like a poem to love. A song that always makes me so happy is Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles.
Yeah. What an intro.
Oh, it's just gorgeous. And I think, I don't know if you saw this going around on Twitter, they've isolated McCartney's vocals.
No, I've not heard this.
Oh, I'm going to send it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, just glorious. And another one that's just so of the era. I mean, it makes you want to go straight back to that time is In the Summertime by Mungo Jerry.
Mm.
And then another one, which I don't know what it is. The chord progression is kind of basic, but it's magic, is Where Is My Mind by the Pixies.
What an intro. Why has no one chose that? Why has no one chose that? That makes no sense. That's a glorious shout.
And actually, I heard G-Eazy. I heard this song of his the other day, and I was like, why do I know this?
Yeah.
And he sampled it. I do find that some of the songs nowadays that we love, if you look back, it has, you know, there is some kind of the roots, the essence are in the 70s or whatever. Yeah.
That's worrying, Genevieve, when you're getting to the age when you're noticing the samples are from songs that you grow up listening to. I'm already there. I've been there for ages. It's like my kids listen to stuff now and I'm just like, yeah, you know what that is? They're like, yeah, whatever, Dad. But oh, God. That's a worry, Genevieve. You've hit the age now where it's gone full circle and you're getting them original samples in new records.
I think it's a testament to the time. Maybe it's just because they didn't have social media.
Yeah.
They were less distracted. It was less, it's more concentrated somehow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Well, look, I'm going to ask you for track two, please, to tell me the first song that you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you, please.
I heard this song, I think, when I was 12. It's Fast Car by Tracy Chapman. And again, it's one that I feel I've chosen because not only did it move me, but it has really stayed with me. And I think it will stay with me forever. It's a song, if I'm sure everyone knows it, but it's, I mean, the song, you know, about this dream of a fast car, about getting away. It's about so much more than just the song, which is exquisite, but it's about our dreams and hopes and feeling trapped. There's so much anguish in it and it's so beautiful. I think it's some famous American writer who said that the majority of men lead lives of quiet desperation. And I think when you're 12, you know, you don't really think about that kind of stuff. And it was the first song that made me ever realize how difficult life is and how difficult life can be for people, especially if you're trapped. And yet it's still got hope. Yeah. She's still dreaming and people always, you know, they keep dreaming. And so that song really touches me. And every time I hear it, I feel like it gets deeper.
And what if you had to pinpoint the emotion, what would that be?
I mean, an adjective that springs to mind is poignant. And I think poignant is a word that has both some anguish and hope in it. And I think that's the paradox that makes that song so profound.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Was there honourable mentions for this one?
Yes. There is a song. I only discovered it recently. It's Tom Waits. And it's I Hope That I Don't Fall In Love With You.
That's a great record.
I mean, I love Tom Waits, but I hadn't heard that song. And it's just, it's like the I Do Know, ships passing each other in the night. If anyone hasn't heard this song, I'm sure they have, but if they haven't, then give it a listen.
Was you, like growing up in those, you know, in your early years, was there music on at home?
Yeah, definitely. But I have a half brother. I've got two half brothers, and one of them is 10 years older than me. So when I was 10, for my 10th birthday, he gave me two albums. One was Eminem, and the other one was The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
They're going to serve you well, them records.
I mean, kind of, what more do you need?
Yeah.
It was the Eminem Show album. And so I don't think my mum, because I grew up, my mum brought me up by herself. So I don't think she had a clue that her 10-year-old knew every lyric to Cleaning Out My Closet.
Probably for the best.
Probably. And I think that set me off, like, just becoming obsessed with lyrics. Like, I don't know why, but I can remember any song that I love, I know every single word, and I don't know why, but it might have been from that time, because I just was obsessed and I listened to it over and over and over again. I mean, you know, by the time I was a young teen, I knew every word to Forgot About Dre, which, I mean, is a crime against humanity, if anyone heard me, really. But yeah. And the answer's to no, I will not do it. Get a few tequilas in me. Who knows what will happen?
Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor. Eggfried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, EGGSALAD, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Eggfried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com. Oh, brilliant. I mean, you mentioned Tom Waits earlier. If you wake up and you're feeling a little blue, you're feeling a little low, what's your way of dealing with that? Do you go and reach for the best of S Club 7 and get positive and dance around the front room? Or do you like to immerse yourself and process that, you know, that mood and listen to music that suits them emotions? Have you got a sort of process for that?
Well, I think it's both. I think there is something about, I don't know, whatever the feeling is, if you're feeling a bit blue, there is something kind of delicious about luxuriating in some of those feelings. And music is like smell. It takes you back. It reminds you of people, places, things. So there is that. But then sometimes if you really need or want to pull yourself out, you can listen to a glorious song. I mean,
suggesting you've got the best of S Club 7 in your CD collection, Jennifer.
Actually, you say that, but, you know, do you remember Blue? Blue came on the radio the other day, and I was like, down, 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 down. And I was like, all right, it was great. But it's a really good idea when something embarrassing happens to you to share it on a public broadcast. That's a really good idea.
Always.
But I had to drive. I actually drove over to see a mate of mine in East London last week, and I just put on. I just had a real fantastic time just blasting music, and I was listening to Rasputin, Boney M, and Gloria. There's an American version, but the Italian one by, I think it's Umberto Tozzi.
Okay.
Just bangers, really. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Always put me in a good mood.
Okay. Right. Well, I'm going to talk school. And for track three, I'm going to ask you to tell me a song that reminds you of your time at school, please.
I mean, talking about not saying embarrassing things. I mean, do you remember the song Baby Cakes?
See, this one and the next one, these are the ones where they have to be embarrassing.
Yeah.
You can't be cool with these ones.
Okay, so Baby Cakes, I just loved. I mean, I was like, 12, 13. I mean, I just love that song. I didn't realise that the lyrics were quite filthy until about a year ago.
But, really? I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Was it like, baby cakes, you just don't know, no, how I like it down low.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Maybe they were just doing the, you know, the limbo.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But the other one that I remember hearing, I had a crush on a boy, and I remember, I think I called him and it went to voicemail. And because I remember it was very brave to, like, he asked me to call him, and I thought, oh my God, this is so grown up. But it went to voicemail, and he had Hey Ma by Cameron on his voicemail. And I just thought, oh, could this boy get any cooler? And so I think it's the sexiest song. It's just kind of like, it's just so of its time.
Yeah.
I just love that song, Hey Ma by Cameron. That reminds me of school days. Yeah.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
How were school days?
They were fine. I mean, I went to school in West London. I went to quite a nice school. I didn't really find my people till I went to university, if that makes sense. I feel like, yeah, it was okay. But I mean, teenage girls are not necessarily, like, it's not always the easiest. Like, the growing pains of being a teenage girl, not very easy. Mm. But it was all right. It was okay. I mean, nothing particularly. I wouldn't want to go back to it. I was kind of glad when I left school. I was like, oh yeah, freedom, you know.
We touched on it earlier, but by the time you got to school, was you quite aware that the arts was something that you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my first job, I mean, I literally had, like, you know, one line, but my first job was on Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So I loved it. Mm. I loved everything about it. And it was, that was a really fantastic experience. But my mum, who'd been an actress and an agent and a theatre producer, she was like, try and get an education if you can. Or, you know, drama school or university, do that. Don't just go straight into it. I mean, there are so many different routes, but going to university, I did a lot of drama there, including two Stephen Sondheim musicals, one at the Edinburgh Festival. So for me, like, that was a massive step in terms of enjoying and exploring acting and drama. And that's where I found my people. Yeah. Like, that's what I mean. I think there was that kind of, like, I didn't really enjoy that kind of non-creative mentality at school. I like being around artists, musicians, actors, directors, people making stuff. Yeah. And that was really exciting.
There's nothing better. And I say this to my youngest daughter all the time, who's just left school. And I'm like, when you get to college, you'll find your tribe. And then everything changes. You find the people that you're not thrust together with. You can pick the people that you want to be with then. And I think that's such a moment in your life when you do find your tribe. I think that's pivotal. And will alter the direction of what, you know, where you want to go, and will help that as well. In regards to school and college, and you know, finding yourself in this huge film. Was you a confident child?
Was I a confident child? I mean, I don't know, because being a child and growing up is such an unconfident time. So I don't think, so as I said, my mum raised me by herself. I love my dad dearly. They get on well, but he lives in Holland. I'm half Dutch. So my mum brought me up. And as a result, I felt like I was always mixing with adults. And she always said, like, shyness is a luxury if you can afford. So I was always thrown into situations where I just had to make conversation and, like, get to know people and stuff like that. So I feel like a friend of mine once said, if you can't beat the fear, just do it scared. And I think that's what I felt like growing up. I just had to do it. And I had to, you know, if you're an only child with a single mom, like, you have to make friends. Like, you have to just go say hello. And yeah, maybe you get knocked down, you have to get up again. So I think I had to be quite tough in some ways, which, I mean, everyone has a different route. But I feel like, for me, was I confident? Sometimes. But then, you know, being a teenager is the most unconfident period ever. And yet I wouldn't take that back, because being unconfident and being a bit vulnerable is a good place to be.
Confidence aside, you've chosen one of the most ruthless and difficult industries to, you know, carve a career within. So with that in mind, would you say that you're a driven person?
I think that if you're lucky enough to do what you love, whatever that industry is, there's something about the enduring quality of whatever that is that you like to do to create. And I love working with people.
Yeah.
And I love making stuff. And that's what's been so joyous about over lockdown, doing these audio dramas and working with different people. And, you know, so I feel like I'm driven in the sense I love what I do. And when I'm lucky enough to actually do it, you know, then that's heaven. And making this podcast has kind of made me think, oh, maybe there's other things I'd like to do as well.
Yeah.
Because being behind the wheel, that's the only thing I would say, is that as an actor, sometimes you're waiting for other people to make decisions. Whereas making this podcast, I got to interview people and cut it myself and have some kind of creative control. And that was fantastic. So I was very driven making that, because I love doing it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Track 4. First record you remember buying from a record store, please.
I mean, why are you doing this to me, Stu?
You can't be cool. You can't be cool on these ones. I've told you. They're the rules.
Okay. Again, I think I was about, I don't know, I mean, 10, 11? 50 Cent. In the club.
See, that's all right. That's a cool tune.
Yeah. I mean, no one, like, my parents obviously didn't know who 50 Cent was. Mm. And because I'm half Dutch, they were like, that's rather cheap.
Yeah, in hindsight, he should have been called 50 million, shouldn't he? Like, he's all about the bling as well. Why sell himself so cheap? Yeah, that's a very good point.
Mm. What was it, Get Rich or Die Trying?
Yeah. I saw someone that had that tattooed on their back once. It was shocking.
Hyde's t-shirt. but the first song on iTunes I bought was, I think it was Tim McGraw and Nelly, Over and Over. That was the very first song I bought. And then I did this at university. We did a stage tour of Antony and Cleopatra. We road tripped up the East Coast of America. We started in Miami and we went like to Nashville, and at some bar in Nashville, this guy kind of did a kind of, oh, hey, baby. And he said that he was Tim McGraw. And to this day, I don't even know if it was true. So I might have met him.
You never know.
I have not. Never know.
He might be still in that bar doing that line to anybody that walks in there.
I mean, to be honest, if you introduce yourself as like Tim McGraw, I mean, like, is it, I mean, are you really Tim McGraw? Tim McGraw probably wouldn't have to do that.
I love that. Did have like record shops been like important for you? Have you ever, like when you went travelling, you know, up the coast and that, and you was in town, would you go in a record shop and look about? Nowadays, you know, if you see a, you know, a secondhand record store or Rough Trade or something like that, do you like to go and, you know, immerse yourself in it?
I do. Something I want to do is actually get a proper record player. Vinyls are just gorgeous, and they, yeah. I mean, they've been making a comeback for a while now, but they are beautiful objects in themselves. They're so nostalgic. They sound better. And there's a way of like really cherishing and enjoying an album.
Artwork, you get to experience the artwork so much more. I mean, obviously on CDs you would a little, but now if people are just downloading it straight onto your phone, you don't really get to marvel at this, you know, some of these icons. I mean, what was the last iconic album sleeve? Because I can't think what it is. It would have been, in my opinion, probably when vinyl was still being made. Someone was to exhibit 100 of the most iconic record sleeves of all time, I don't reckon any of them would have come out in the last 10 years.
No. I mean, as soon as you say that, I think Pink Floyd or, you know,
Clash, it's like straight away you do. You just think of these iconic sleeves. And I think that's, I don't want to be, you know, Grandad Stew and go, oh, it's all better in my day, because I don't. I think it's wonderful that people can go and experience the whole world of music at their fingertips. Like, you know, who done that? I don't know. Let's find out. And within a second, you're listening to it. I think that's marvellous. But it's the artwork is the thing that I think is a real loss. And I also think that there's something to be said for the journey and of having a bit of pocket money and remembering the day that you went to that record store and you bought that album, and that was the only one you could afford. And so when you got home, you'd listen to it and listen to it and listen to it whilst looking at the sleeve. I think that's something that is lost a little bit, that journey of being able to sort of know the moment you got that. I think that's something that's lost. But I do think that's also balanced with the opportunity to have the whole world's music, you know, on your telephone.
It's definitely a paradox, isn't it?
Mm, absolutely. Yeah. Where are we? Oh, we're going to grow up a little bit now for track 5. We're going to go clubbing. The song that soundtracked your years in clubland, please, Genevieve.
I mean, there are so many classic club songs that, like, someone of my age would, like, know that I'm going to go for the ones that are, like, embarrassing. Mm-hmm. So at university, I mean, things like, I remember Like a G6.
Yeah.
We loved that. That came out when I was at university. And was also lucky enough to then go to Japan, to Tokyo, on another theatre tour. We did Twelfth Night. And we did karaoke in Tokyo. And
I mean, that's got to be the best place in the world to do karaoke, right?
It was. I mean, I'm pretty sure me and a girlfriend sang Like a G6. You can't even sing Like a G6. So what we were thinking, I don't know. I'm not even sure we're allowed back in the country. but that was great. But then, you know, the songs that I love, like, Duck Sauce's Barbra Streisand, but that's sampled from Boney M. Was it Gotta Go Home, 1979. So that's not so bad.
That's a great dance record, though.
Great dance record. It's fantastic.
Do you like to dance?
I love to dance. I love it. And I feel like it's something that, I mean, yes, of course, like now because of COVID, but even more recently, there just aren't that many places, really, that people can properly go and dance. I don't think, anyway. I think we need that.
Oh, God. I run a nightclub, and getting the news yesterday that in 3 weeks' time I can hopefully open, I can't wait. I've not seen or made people dance for 15 months, and it's going to be joyous. And the fact that there's also another whole year's worth of young people that have turned 18 that have never been to a nightclub and are going to come and experience it for the first time, it's going to be wonderful. Absolutely. So are you a clubber?
I mean, when you say clubber, what do you mean? Because, well, like, going out and having a dance. I mean, is that clubbing, or are you talking about like raves?
No, just going. It doesn't matter where. Do you like to just go out and dance? Is it something that you try
Absolutely.
And do regularly?
I do. I mean, I think that nights out are made by the people you're with and the music you listen to. So some of the best nights I've had are at people's houses.
Yeah.
Because then you can just, you know, everyone puts on songs that they love and you have a dance and it's just fantastic. I miss that.
Wonderful. I'm going to take you home for track 6 and I'm going to ask you for a favourite song from an artist from your home county, please.
So this was difficult because if I'm a Londoner, I was trying to think who is really native to London. I mean, mm-hmm. I think the Smiths are Londoners, are they?
They're Mancunian.
Mancunian, that's right. Oh God!
But if you want to talk about the Smiths, please, can we talk about the Smiths?
So I only discovered the Smiths, their music, like quite recently through a friend of mine, which is also like the joy of people sharing stuff and teaching you stuff, you know? But now I've discovered the Smiths. I mean, it's a world of joy. I mean, there is a light that never goes out. It's just, I've never talked about the Smiths with anyone since I discovered them, but they are hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that song? Some girls are bigger than other girls.
Some girls' mothers are bigger than other girls.
Yes. I mean, they are so unique and strange and wonderful. And the other day I had to do a very strange self-tape audition, which was just no lines, just having a chat to camera about what you're up to. And so I play a little bit of guitar and I sang that song because it was a dark comedy and it's just like, there is a light that never goes out. I mean, you know, and if a double-decker bus crashes into us, to die by your side. No.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ladies and gentlemen, for the purposes of audio-only broadcasting, Stu is showing me his tattoo, the lyrics of which are...
There is a light that never goes out.
No, I didn't know that. I did not know that. That is very cool.
Mm. It's a special song, that is.
It's very special.
Mm. And hilarious as well.
Okay, I'm glad. I feel like if you've said that, I'm allowed to think that they are funny. Because imagine if you turn around and be like, no, they're not funny.
Girlfriend in a coma, like, it's... And what's really interesting is like, I mean, I have to stress that band, probably, you know, one of my all-time favourite bands, and I adore them, and I think Johnny Marr is an absolute genius guitarist, but I've also been a bit saddened at what Morris has been saying of recent years. Some of his comments have been not favourable and just bizarre for somebody.
Like what?
He said some quite right-wing things and has been kind of pulled apart in the press for it, really. He said some strange things and wore badges that are associated with... with right-wing groups, and yeah, some odd things that makes it a really, really strange thing to digest for somebody that, for me and millions of other confused, angst-ridden teenagers, he was your comfort blanket. He was the guy that said it's cool to be this, you know, it's okay. And it's just, yeah, it's I'm very confused as to where my thoughts are with Morrissey, but I have to learn to separate the
I was going to say that's a massive question in music, yes, but also art and literature. Can we separate the artist from the man or woman?
It's a very, very common conversation on this podcast because a lot of people pick Michael Jackson records because Michael Jackson's got some, whatever your thoughts on whatever he's allegedly done, he has made some of the most magnificent pop music ever. And lots of people grew up listening to Michael Jackson, and so they pick Michael Jackson records. And I always say, you know, can you still listen to that? As a DJ, I wouldn't necessarily play Michael Jackson records to people now. I can disassociate that personally, and I will listen to Michael Jackson records and enjoy them as art. Because it is a strange one, Genevieve. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but it doesn't just transcend itself to music. It then becomes, some artists have done some vile things, and it's like, where do you stop? You know, it's, do you just judge it on the art or the person? I don't know. Where does the land lie with you?
I think it's incredibly tricky terrain to navigate, because if you take that argument to the extreme that we should separate the artist from the person, then we become like the moral police.
Yeah.
And actually, artists and the life that they reflect and express, life is messy. People are, you know, and a very sanitized version of art and culture, then I think we enter like communist territory. And also the fear that inspires of not being able to like a writer because he was a misogynist or whatever, which, you know, a lot of them were and have done very toxic, questionable things. But, you know, I don't want to do a burning of the books. I don't want to get rid of that. And also, I think that it's very important. This is just my personal opinion, obviously, but I think that it's very dangerous to get rid of the things in the past that we don't like. We should show them, because if you think that they are morally objectionable, then we should remember them and recognize that as well. Whereas if we just go, oh, I don't like it, I'm going to get rid of it, then people will forget the damage that has been done. So I think that it's a tricky thing. I think when enough time has gone by, one can maybe separate the artist from the man when it comes to palatable and immoral, then that's more dangerous. But Stu, if I could answer this question and have a firm answer, then I think it would be much easier. But it's not easy, is it?
Absolutely.
I have to say, actually, there's one. I mean, I'm not talking about track, was it track six, the home country favorite artist, I have to say I do adore Radiohead. And I think, I mean, I'm not sure they're Londoners as such, but, you know, Oxfordshire or whatever. And the song Creep, apart from being just an extraordinary song, I did a TV show, and in a kind of dream sequence, my character got married, and I walked down the aisle of Ely Cathedral, which is where they always film all the major like wedding scenes, like in The Crown. Like, that's Ely Cathedral, I'm pretty sure. And the choir sang Creep.
Wow.
I mean, so I was walking in this massive wedding dress, actually basically just trying not to trip and fall on my face. but that was extraordinary. And I love Radiohead. I think they're, well, musical geniuses, really. But yeah, they're my special mention.
Oh, that's a great shout as well. I think it's... I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Creep came out in the early 90s, and hearing that for the first time, and just hearing this sort of almost sort of tranquil nursery rhyme, and then just that initial crunch of that guitar before that song just explodes was like, whoa, I did not know that was coming. And then just to hear at the end, like, Tom York's voice just soar, and you just realise, like, oh, okay, this guy's a bit special. And it's strange, because I think at that point, like, Creep was a big hit, and there was no other real hits on that first record. There's a couple more singles, but they weren't, like, great big hits. I think Creep sort of blew up in the States as well. But I think it was, obviously, when they come back with the Bends, and all of a sudden, you know, they release High and Dry and Fake Plastic Trees and Street Spirit, it was like, oh, hang on, no, this band aren't your average guitar band. These are something special. And then they've just consistently, with every record, just made you go, oh, right, yeah, they're definitely not your average band. They're something different. They're just absolute pioneers and true artists, you know, that will take that jump and potentially lose fans because that record doesn't sound like the last record, but they want to progress and they want to innovate and change. And I think that's so important. I think that's something that the way that the recording industry is now, we'll see less and less of it, because if, you know, band's first record was to sell the same as Radiohead's first record nowadays, they wouldn't get a chance to make a second record on that label. It'd be dropped, because the industry's a very different place, unfortunately. So I think when you've still got these bands, you know, that have the capabilities and the relationship with the label because they're super famous, you know, I think that when you've still got bands like Radiohead and artists like Damon Albarn that try and consistently progress, you know, that's when people in 30 years are going to look back and view them the same way that we view the Beatles and Bowie and, you know, these absolute mavericks. So, yeah, wonderful chat.
I was thinking about Creep. There's a theme, I think, actually here, which is that it's a bit like I'll Be Watching You.
Yeah.
Because there's a contrast between the beauty of the music and the darkness of what's actually being said. And I think that's so powerful in music. The voice, you know, the voice of the and the words of the person singing in your ear, you know, Creep or I'll Be Watching You, it's there. It's like having a narrator of a book who is a stalker or a murderer. So you feel naturally aligned, like you can understand their pain, but what they're saying is so concerning that you kind of don't know where how you feel about it. And I actually reminds me of so. I said I did this Sondheim musical at the Edinburgh Festival called Assassins. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't, no.
I think you'd love it. It's about a lot of the assassination attempts of American presidents and the characters, the disenfranchised people who have attempted or succeeded in these assassinations. And there's a duet in it called Unworthy of Your Love. And it's between a guy who was obsessed with Jodie Foster and then tried to assassinate a president. And then my character was a woman called Lynette Squeaky Fromm, who was the lover of Charles Manson. And they sing this song, and it's a beautiful pop ballad, sometimes so clever. And it's just a beautiful song. And she's saying, you know, I am nothing, you are wind and devil and God, Charlie. It's like that. And underneath it, it's like, I would do anything for you. I would kill for you. I would drink poison, in contrast with this pop ballad.
Yeah.
So I love contrasts like that, when the words and the are doing something completely different to the music, like Creep, like, you know.
And that's the Smiths. To go back full circle to the Smiths, that you listen to how jaunty Girlfriend is a Coma is. Girlfriend in a Coma is. It's an absolute quirky pop song. Yet the theme of it is about his girlfriend who's in a coma, and you know, and there's so many Smiths records that you know, There Is a Light That Never Goes Out is a really joyous pop record, you know, lovely chorus, but the you know, the theme of it is death. And it's, you know, and dying with someone. But, yeah, wonderful. Okay, so you get to play DJ now and tastemaker. And I'm going to ask you, please, to tell me a song that you think many people may not know that you would like them to hear, please.
Okay, I have one and I have a backup or a special mention. I think Umeji's theme, which is from the film In the Mood for Love. It was made in the year 2000. It's a Hong Kong film. I think it may have either been nominated or won the Palme d'Or, and one of the actors won an Oscar, I think. And it's an exquisite piece of music. It's a film theme tune, and I think it's the most stunning film. It's set in Hong Kong in the 60s, but it was made in the year 2000, and it's just beautiful. So I would encourage everyone to check that out. And another one, my backup, is A.R. Rahman, the legendary composer who did, I mean, famously Slumdog Millionaire, mm-hmm. but so much other stuff. And his song, Urvasi? Do you know that one?
I don't know.
Urvasi, as it was sampled and used, I think, in the Will I Am song, It's My Birthday. So people might recognize it from that. But if you also look at the music video, it's just hilarious. It's wild. It's absolutely wild. It takes place on a bus and they're dancing on the bus. It's brilliant. But it's just fantastic. Oh, and one more, if I'm really allowed. It's a kind of...
squeezing him in right at the end.
It's an Afrobeat kind of song. I know, it's just so hard, this, trying to pick one, by a guy called Davido. He's a Nigerian-American singer, and it's called Fall. And it's just... I heard it on the beach, and I just fell in love with it. I love Afrobeat kind of music, and yeah. It makes me feel so happy. And again, the lyrics are kind of... it's romantic and also a bit kooky, and I just love it. It makes me happy.
Wonderful. So, Genevieve, we put together a Spotify playlist to accompany the podcast so people can go and listen to all of the songs that you've spoken about today. As we touched upon earlier, we appear to be reaching the end of a very difficult time, and restrictions will be dropped in the coming weeks. What are you looking forward to personally for the rest of 2021? And what have you got happening professionally?
So, I mean, making this podcast, The Cupid Couch, it only came out like a week ago, and the episodes are still coming out. It's a documentary style series. So that's been really exciting. I'm thinking about cutting a second season. I have more audio dramas coming out. I'm doing The Thunderbirds with John Coleshaw, the audio series of that. Anyone knows John Coleshaw from Dead Ringers? He plays Parker to My Lady Penelope.
I mean, how cool is that, playing Lady Penelope? I mean, how iconic is that as a character?
She's an absolute babe. And the fun thing is, because John Coleshaw is obviously like probably the world's greatest impressionist, and he does, Lady Parker, you know, talking like that. Oh, hello, Lady. Oh, yes, the telephone for you, Lady. I mean, I can't do it really.
I mean, you nailed that there.
But My Lady Penelope is a real homage to the original Sylvia Anderson, because we really want to do a throwback. So she's more kind of like Parker. Get the rolls. We're going for a little drive.
wonderful.
And Parker, when you traverse Dartmoor lanes, do reduce your speed. Going at that pace is apt to be disconcerting. You know, so that it's great. It's great fun. What else am I up to? You know, we're going to see, I guess, what happens with... I'd love to do a play. It'd be lovely to be back on set. But I also think that, like, this time has taught us just to try and be a bit malleable and plastic and, like, you know, go with the flow and see how things go, and just also be grateful that we're still here and that we're well and we've got our health and, you know, so we'll see what happens, really.
Wonderful. Genevieve, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a joy talking records with you.
You too. Thank you, Stu. It's been a joy for me too. Thanks.
There you go. Genevieve Gaunt. Oh, that was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Just thoroughly enjoyed that. I hope you got a fraction of the joy listening to that as I did having that natter with Genevieve. Go check out the podcast. Go check out the playlist over on Spotify. Go and listen to all the songs that Genevieve chose. And as I mentioned at the beginning, if you'd like to support the podcast, you know how to, because I told you how to do that. Just give us a like, love, share, or a retweet on the socials, and I'll love you forever. Right, I will be back next time. In the meantime, just be excellent to each other and take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stu Whippin.